Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
We read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 19. The Lord instructs Srila Rupa Goswami. Pramanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavana Jiva Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Bija. Please repeat. Brahmanda.
Brahmanda.
Brahmite.
Brahmite.
Wandering in this universe.
Wandering in this universe.
Kona.
Kona.
Some.
Some.
Bhagyavan.
Bhagyavan.
Most fortunate.
Most fortunate.
Jiva.
Jiva.
Living being.
Living being.
Guru.
Guru.
Of the spiritual master.
Of the spiritual master.
Krishna.
Krishna.
Of Krishna.
Of Krishna.
Prasade.
Prasade.
By the mercy.
By the mercy.
Paya.
Paya.
Gets.
Gets.
Bhakti Lata.
Bhakti Lata.
Of the creeper of devotional service.
Of the creeper of devotional service.
Bija.
Bija.
The seed.
The seed.
Translation. According to their karma, all living entities are wandering throughout the entire universe. Some of them are being elevated to the upper planetary systems, and some are going down into the lower planetary systems. Out of many millions of wandering living entities, one who is very fortunate gets an opportunity to associate with a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. By the mercy of both Krishna and the spiritual master, such a person receives the seed of the creeper of devotional service. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When we speak of Brahmanda, we refer to the whole universe or to the cluster of many millions of universes. In all universes, there are innumerable planets and innumerable living entities upon those planets, in the air and in the water. There are millions and trillions of living entities everywhere, and they are engaged by Maya in suffering and enjoying the results of their fruitive activity, life after life. This is the position of the materially conditioned living entities. Out of many of these living entities, if one is actually fortunate, Bhagyavan, he comes in contact with a bona fide spiritual master by Krishna's mercy. Krishna is situated in everyone's heart. And if one desires something, Krishna fulfills one's desire. If the living entity by chance or fortune comes in contact with the Krishna consciousness movement and wishes to associate with that movement, Krishna, who is situated in everyone's heart, gives him the chance to meet a bona fide spiritual master. This is called Guru Krishna Prasad. Krishna is prepared to bestow his mercy upon all living entities. And as soon as a living entity desires the Lord's mercy, the Lord immediately gives him an opportunity to meet a bona fide spiritual master. Such a person is fortified by both Krishna and the spiritual master. He is helped from within by Krishna and from without by the spiritual master. Both are prepared to help the sincere living being become free from this material bondage. It is said commonly that by the grace of Krishna one gets Guru, and by the grace of Guru one gets Krishna. But that process is explained more elaborately here. How one can become this fortunate can be seen in the life of Srila Narada Muni. In his previous life, he was born of a maid servant. Although he was not born into a prestigious position, his mother was fortunately engaged in rendering service to some Vaishnavas. When these Vaishnavas were resting during the Chaturmasya period, the boy Narada took the opportunity to engage in their service. Taking compassion upon the boy, the Vaishnavas offered him the remnants of their food. By serving them and obeying their orders, the boy became the object of sympathy for the Vaishnavas. And by the Vaishnavas' unknown mercy, he gradually became a pure devotee. In the next life, he was Narada Muni, the most exalted of Vaishnavas, and the most important guru and acharya of Vaishnavas. So this word, Bhagyavan, fortunate, is significant. In one sense, good fortune could seem to be something like luck. Good fortune, good luck. But one can perform activities that make one a candidate for such good fortune. And those activities, in broad terms, are called agyata sukriti, pious activities performed without one's knowledge. Narada Muni, in his previous life, was just a child. His mother was engaged in the service of Vaishnavas, and he was just a child. He didn't really know anything. But he had the opportunity to serve the Vaishnavas, even without understanding the significance of it. And he became the object of their sympathy. So without being conscious of it, he received their good wishes. And he took their remnants. Again, perhaps he did not understand the value of taking their remnants, but still he got the benefit. So that therefore Srila Prabhupada says, how one can become this fortunate can be seen in the life of Srila Narayana. It comes basically from serving Vaishnavas. Following in the footsteps of Narada Muni, this Krishna consciousness movement is rendering service to humanity by giving everyone a chance to come in contact with Krishna. If one is fortunate, he becomes intimately related with this movement. So, just as Narada Muni travels all over the universe, seeing the glories of the Lord and giving people the opportunity to come in touch with Krishna, so the Krishna consciousness movement also sends preachers all over the world to chant the glories of the Lord and give people the opportunity to come in touch with Krishna. But not everyone responds to the opportunity in the same way. Some people come and spend a little time and go away. Some come and spend a little more time and go away. Or they may remain on the periphery. They don't go away in a very dramatic way, but they sort of stay away by remaining on the periphery. But if one is fortunate, he becomes intimately related with this movement. Then, by the grace of Krishna, one's life becomes successful. Everyone has dormant Krishna bhakti, love for Krishna, and in the association of good devotees, that love is revealed. As stated in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 22, text 107, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunai Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Karaye Udai. Dormant devotional service to Krishna is within everyone. Simply by associating with devotees, hearing their good instructions, and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, dormant love for Krishna is awakened. In this way, one acquires the seed of devotional service. Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. So Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema means that love for Krishna, Krishna Prema, is eternally situated within the heart. It is not something that is brought from another source. But that love for Krishna is dormant. It has to be awakened. And the process for awakening it is purifying the heart by hearing from pure devotees. So that is the process. Not everyone responds in the same way, and that is a matter of good fortune, or it could be a matter of offenses. The process is very potent, but if one is suffering from the effects of offenses, then the process does not act as quickly. But still, if one stays with the process, one will be purified. Shuddha-chitta, one's consciousness will be purified by shravanadi, hearing and chanting, and one's love for Krishna will awaken. So, initiation is a mark of progress on the path. Srila Rupa Goswami describes different stages of devotional service. Ado Shraddha, first is Shraddha, which means faith and attraction. Preliminary faith and attraction, which comes from hearing from devotees. And so, Adoshana Tata Sadhu Sangha. Then one begins to associate with devotees regularly, systematically. Without association with a devotee, there's no question of Shraddha. But when Shraddha awakens, then comes Sadhu Sangha, that means regular, systematic association of devotees. And then Bhajana Kriya. One thinks, I should become more serious like the other devotees, I should dedicate myself to the process. Like the other devotees. That's Bhajana Kriya, and at that stage one comes forward for initiation. Then Anartha-nivritti. Anartha-nivritti is a very critical stage. At that stage, the anarthas, the unwanted desires and behaviors become eradicated. And devotees can get stuck. One can spend a long, long, long time without passing through anarthanivritti. Because to pass through anarthanivritti requires work. It requires work. In the analogy of Lord Chaitanya about the devotional creeper, he says that after receiving that seed, one should become a gardener and plant it and water it by chanting and hearing. But again, the chanting and hearing will be effective when it is performed without offense. And he also says that one should be careful of weeds or unwanted creepers, upasaka, that can grow up alongside the devotional creeper. And these weeds can very closely resemble the devotional creeper. They can appear to be of the same size and the same variety as the devotional creeper. But they are actually unwanted weeds. And if one is not careful, the water from the chanting and hearing can be sucked up by those weeds. So that's another way of looking at why someone can remain stuck for a long time. Because the person is not able to distinguish between the real creeper and the weeds. Weeds are, in broad terms, material desires. So one is chanting and engaging in so many activities, but within oneself, one wants some material position, or even one might have a sort of covert desire to merge and become one with God, Brahman. So it requires sincerity, and it requires effort. Of course, sincerity is a big question. And when asked how one can become sincere, Srila Prabhupada has given different answers. But one answer, which is practical, is to associate with devotees who are sincere. Because that, like Prabhupada mentioned in this purport, one should associate with good devotees. I mean, every devotee is good, but they may be at different stages. So, yeah. So by associating with sincere devotees, one becomes more sincere. And it is able to just sort of shed those unwanted desires and patterns of thought and behavior. And of course, we have a special facility, because we are approaching Krishna through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So by serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, performing Harinam Sankirtan, and distributing Krishna consciousness, one gets special mercy. And that can, you know, free the heart from unwanted desires and really make one blissful in Krishna consciousness, and then one can progress very nicely. So that's a special opportunity that we, as followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, have to very quickly clean the heart and become ecstatic. Go beyond the different obstacles. So I guess if we're gathered, I'll read the offenses. I won't speak too much. Maybe from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila. Two. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Sri Rama, Hare Rama. Huh? Yeah, I can. So, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 8, Text 24. Krishna nama kare aparade ravichara Krishna balile aparadira nahaye vikara. Please repeat. Krishna nama.
Krishna nama.
The holy name of Lord Krishna.
The holy name of Lord Krishna.
Kare.
Kare.
Takes.
Takes.
Aparadera.
Aparadera.
Of offenses.
Of offenses.
Vichara.
Vichara.
Consideration.
Consideration.
Krishna.
Krishna.
Lord Krishna.
Lord Krishna.
Balile.
Balile.
If one chants.
If one chants.
Aparadira.
Aparadira.
Of the offenders.
Of the offenders.
Na.
Na.
Never.
Never.
Haya.
Haya.
Becomes.
Becomes.
Vikara.
Vikara.
Change.
Change.
There are offenses to be considered while chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Therefore, simply by chanting Hare Krishna, one does not become ecstatic. In other words, if one commits offenses while chanting Hare Krishna, one does not become ecstatic. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is very beneficial to chant the names Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda before chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because by chanting these two holy names, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, one immediately becomes ecstatic. And if he then chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he becomes free from offenses. There are 10 offenses to avoid in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The first offense is to blaspheme great personalities who are engaged in distributing the holy name of the Lord. It is said in the Shastra, C.C. Antya 7.11, Krishna Shakti Vina Nahe Tara Pravartana. One cannot distribute the holy names of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra unless he is empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, one should not criticize or blaspheme a devotee who is thus engaged. Sri Padma Purana states, Satam nindanamna paramam aparadam vitanute yatakyatim yatam kattam usahate tadvigaram. to blaspheme the great saintly persons who are engaged in preaching the glories of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the worst offense at the lotus feet of the holy name. One should not criticize a preacher of the glories of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. If one does so, he is an offender. The Nam Prabhu, who is identical with Krishna, will never tolerate such blasphemous activities, even from one who passes as a great devotee. The second Nam Aparad is described as follows. Shivasya Shri Vishnoryi I Aguna Namadi Sakavam Dhyavinam Pasyat Saka Luhari Namita Kara. In this material world, the holy name of Vishnu is all auspicious. Vishnu's name, form, qualities, and pastimes are all transcendental absolute knowledge. Therefore, if one tries to separate the absolute personality of Godhead from his holy name, or his transcendental form, qualities, and pastimes, thinking them to be material, that is offensive. In other words, Krishna is absolute, so his name is Krishna. His form is Krishna, the deity. His qualities are Krishna, His pastimes are Krishna. They're all Krishna. And if we think of them as separate, then it's an offense. It means that we're not understanding the absolute nature of Krishna. Similarly, to think the names of demigods such as Lord Shiva to be as good as the name of Lord Vishnu, or in other words, to think Lord Shiva and the other demigods to be other forms of God and therefore equal to Vishnu, is also blasphemous. This is the second offense at the lotus feet of the Lord. Well, one needs to understand the science of the holy name. There are many people who chant, not only in India now, but all over the world they chant names of Krishna and Rama and of demigods. But they don't, well, let's say, if they don't know the science, then they will not get the benefit. To them, it's all the same. Shiva, Shiva, Durga, Durga, Hare Krishna. Generally, they're impersonalists, and they think that God is impersonal, the Supreme is impersonal, and he comes in different shapes and forms, and it doesn't matter what shape or form you worship, doesn't matter what name you chant, because in the end, you just go beyond all the names and forms, you merge. So, yeah, when we preach, we do have to explain what chanting really is. I mean, in the beginning, we just ask them to chant, and if they associate with devotees, then they'll gradually learn more. But they need to be instructed. The third offense at the lotus feet of the holy name, which is called Guror Avagya, is to consider the spiritual master to be material and therefore envy his exalted position. The fourth offense, Shruti Shastra Nindanam, is to blaspheme Vedic literature such as the four Vedas and the Puranas. I mean, blaspheming is quite gross, but it's a subtle offense not to read or not to attend the classes, because it really means you don't have faith in the scriptures. So you might not, you know, especially around devotees, you might not like, well, depends, but you might not like come out and say that I don't really believe all this stuff. But you may have that in you, that sort of doubt. And as a result, you don't like to read much, or if you read, your mind revolts against it. And so, but again, the same thing, it's a matter of good association. That's pretty much the remedy for every ill, the association of pure devotees. Similarly, the sixth offense, Harinam Nikalpanam, is to consider the holy name of the Lord to be imaginary. The seventh offense is described as follows. Namno balad yasya hi papabhutir navidyate tasya yamayir hi shuddhi. Does anyone know what the meaning is? You didn't raise your hand. Stand in the corner. Okay. Raise your hand if you have an idea of what this offense is. Well, we can't get involved in that. Dr. Brent.
To commit some simple activities on the strength of the holy name.
And can you explain what that means?
Like the elephant that goes in the water and cleans himself and then gets out of the water and throws dirt on himself. So he's clean, but then he goes out and he throws dirt on himself. So if we can't, and we cleanse ourselves and cleanse our heart, and then we do things that are offensive or against Krishna consciousness, and we feel like, oh, well, I'll just chant and I'm going to make up for it, and I'll be all right.
Hmm. Pretty good answer. Yes, that's a critical point, that by chanting the holy name, one becomes free from sinful reactions. So if someone thinks, I can engage in sinful activities and then chant the holy name to counteract the reactions, that's what the offense is. And that is, that doesn't work. In fact, to the contrary, you become more entangled in reactions. So that's a very, sinful mentality. It's a very sinful mentality. To think that since the Hare Krishna mantra can counteract all sinful reactions, one may therefore go on with his sinful activities and at the same time chant the Hare Krishna mantra to neutralize them, is the greatest offense at the lotus feet of Harinam. So there have been two strong phrases here. One is the worst offense, what's, raise your hand, what's the worst offense? She raised her hand, but she didn't wait to be called on. Okay. It's a gradual process. Gradual process. Okay. What is the greatest offense? Raise your hand and don't speak until you're called on. Who knows what the greatest offense is? Yes? Well, that could be, but that's not what we read in the purport. Yes? That's the worst offense. I mean, worst and greatest, I mean, but it's a matter of memory here. What did Srila Prabhupada say is the greatest offense? We just read it.
To commit sinful activities and strength of chanting the holy.
Yes. Very good. The eighth offense is stated thus. Dharma vrata tyaga hutadi sarva shubha kriya samyam api pramada. It is offensive to consider the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra to be a religious ritualistic ceremony. Performing religious ceremonies, following vows and practicing renunciation and sacrifice are all materialistic, auspicious activities. The chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra must not be compared to such materialistic religiosity. This is an offense at the lotus feet of the Lord. Like sometimes politicians, they'll fast to achieve some result. Or people will give in charity to achieve some result in the material field. So one shouldn't do that with the chanting of the holy name. The holy name is not meant to be used to fulfill our material desires, but we are meant to fulfill the holy name's desires, Krishna's desires. So, yeah. Of all the processes of devotional service, the chanting of the holy name is the best. And that's like devotional service. But ordinary people who really don't understand bhakti, they see, chanting, worshipping the deity, giving in charity, feeding the poor, fasting, they don't distinguish. They see them as all like pious activities that they do to get some benefit for themselves or their loved ones. The ninth offense is described as follows. Ashrada dane vimukti pi ashravati yas chopadesha shiva nam aparada. It is an offense to preach the glories of the holy name among persons who have no intelligence or no faith in the subject matter. Such people should be given the chance to hear the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, but in the beginning they should not be instructed about the glories of the spiritual significance of the holy name. By constant hearing of the holy name, their hearts will be purified, and then they will be able to understand the transcendental position of the holy name. So this is a matter of discrimination in preaching. If someone doesn't have faith, you can just engage them in chanting. Or you can try to create faith in them by beginning with logic and reason and convincing them on the basis of logic and reason. And then eventually, when they come to the stage of faith, adoshraddha, having faith in the scriptures, then you can tell them what the scriptures say. But if they don't have faith in the scriptures, then just engage them in chanting or taking prasad, doing service. And that will gradually purify their hearts until they can understand. The tenth offense is as follows. Who knows what the tenth offense is? Are you raising your hand or not? Are you raising your hand?
Yeah.
Okay.
To not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy names and to maintain material desires despite knowing of the glories of the holy name.
Quite close. Do you want to try?
Until I have complete faith in the holy name and to maintain material attachments even after understanding from the instruction from the matter.
Yes, perfect. In other words, it's not an offense to have material attachments. It's an anartha, but it's not an offense. But to hold on to the material attachments, that's an offense. So now, here's what Srila Prabhupada says here. If one has heard the glories of the transcendental holy name of the Lord, but nevertheless continues in a materialistic concept of life, thinking, I am this body, and everything belonging to this body is mine, ahamamaiti, and does not show respect and love for the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, that is an offense. So when we chant, we're meant to hear the holy name, to pronounce and hear the holy name. But we might find that our mind is elsewhere, which is a symptom of the bodily concept of life. Our mind tends to think about our bodies. I mean, it could be in, you know, a personal sense, like, when am I going to be able to take prasad? Or it could be in a more elaborate, extended sense, like thinking about arrangements for bodily comforts. And it could extend to family members. You know, my child passes the exam, or my child gets a good match, and so we're chanting, but it's a hamaiti. You know, I'm this body and everything related to this body is mine. And then if we think, well, if I chant, good, then I'll pass the exam or get a good match. And that's another offense on top of it. So, it's a matter of practice. It's a matter of practice. Good association, the Dhamma. But we do have to make the effort. But again, so yes. So we come back to this, the first point, which is that by chanting the names of Gaur Nitai, one feels ecstatic because there's no consideration of offenses. And the same extends to serving Gaur Nitai by preaching. So that's really our hope here. In the earlier verse, you know, whether he is offensive or inoffensive, anyone who even now chants Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda is immediately overwhelmed with ecstasy. Simply by talking of Nityananda Prabhu, one awakens his love for Krishna. If one only chants with some slight faith the holy names of Lord Chaitanya Nityananda, very quickly he is cleansed of all offenses. Thus, as soon as he chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he feels the ecstasy of love for God. So that's our special facility. But of course it should be seen Burijan Prabhu when he would begin kirtan, he would like really chant Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda loudly, get everyone to chant loudly. It really does take you beyond like the bodily platform and the offensive platform. And by preaching, one gets the Gaur Nitai's mercy. And yeah, that's like, it's like a cycle that preaching nourishes sadhana and sadhana nourishes preaching. So we need that balance. And, Akash and Komeshni, they are engaged in helping the movement. Can you tell us a little about what they do? Are you aware of it? Why don't you tell us?
Akash and Komeshni, they live near the Radha Radhanath Temple in Durban. Recently got married. And they've been engaged especially in helping secure book sponsorships for our Bhagavad Gita sponsorship program quite successfully. Many thousands of Bhagavad Gitas have been sponsored through their endeavors. Akash is very involved in our regular Harinam Sankirtan programs, very ecstatic in the kirtans of chanting and dancing. Kamesni also goes out of Kirtan. She is also very involved with our university preaching program at all the universities, but she coordinates the activities at one of our campuses, the teacher training campus at the university, organizing and cultivating the students there. So very, very nicely engaged in the preaching of Krishna consciousness there.
What about the festivals? Do they help with the festivals?
Yeah. Well, all around, whatever is asked of them, and then here in Vrindavan also nicely engaged in service to Guru Maharaj and the devotees. Did I miss out anything?
Guru Maharaj, Gopijana Vallabh, 15 books sales, your books, money means. And five life membership.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, we also have, I mean, not to be in the bodily concept of life, but we do have Akasha's brother Amit here. So, can you tell us something about Akash and Komeshni's service to the mission and to the devotees?
Hare Krishna. I think one of the main strong points is the every Saturday morning without fail they all come early down. Whether it's raining or whatever the weather is, they always pray on a Saturday morning. And yet if you know no one else is coming, you know both of them are going to be there on Saturday morning. So I think that's one of their strong points in their services. They constantly do Harinam Sankirtan and then all the other services fall in place from there, I think.
Nice. We also have Amit's wife, Carmen, here. Can you tell us more about their service to the mission, service to the devotees, service to the scripture, service to the holy name?
Hare Krishna. Personally, Amit and I always look up to Akash and Kumeshni because they're so determined and fixed in anything that they do. And they're so inspiring to so many other devotees. So we always think, like, whenever we have to make a decision about something, we always think about them and how they would think of doing something and look at, like, how much they've achieved, and we just really look up to them.
Nice.
I forgot one other thing. Akash is a civil engineer by education and training, and he basically takes a lot of responsibility of the maintenance at the temple, the projects, the building projects, and getting things repaired, and it's quite a leading role player there.
Good. Are there any other friends here? You have a smile on your face.
So we met her at the Govardhan retreat. She lived with Lala Bhakti in England.
Oh.
So maybe we can.
Hare Krishna. Yes, we just met Komeshni at the Govardhan retreat just a little while ago. I had a friend that was supposed to come and cancel, so I was nervous because I had to share a room with a stranger. And she was nervous, and we met each other, and we were like, oh, it's one bed. Okay, it'll be okay. We were both nervous. But instantly, we connected because she's just such an easy person to get along with, a wonderful, wonderful service attitude. We became instant, fast sisters. And she would talk about Akash and just their life together and their determination and their dedication to you, Maharaj. And yeah, just both of them are very, very inspiring. I'm very happy to know them.
Good. Well, that was very purified. That was very purified. I mean, the offense of it seems sort of negative, but there's the positive side, like, okay, don't blaspheme devotees. But the positive side is to glorify devotees. And just by that little appreciation that we have now, everyone's like so purified and happy and blissful. So the offenses are like that, they're stated in negative terms, but the best way to avoid them is to engage in the positive activities, glorifying devotees, glorifying the scripture, distributing books, serving the devotees. That's, and then it's all very well and good. So now, do we have garlands? I got
for them very much, for themselves, and for you they have both.
Well, the initiates and initiator get, they all get. Hare Krishna. Someone should, I get two? Someone should put theirs on them. What's that? Okay. So now we need an initiated devotee to put the new net beads on each of them. Are these the new ones? Is she?
She's up to. Actually, Ravana sent me a message today, and I wrote them back to get everything properly processed. And
she's not here for the long.
29th, a few more days.
Do you want to do this disappearance? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's on the fluke, not on the fluke.
Okay. So let's, I think we should give to the Govardhan retreat devotee. And what's your relationship?
I met all the permission to go for the retreat.
Okay. So, I need the beads now. Hopelessly entangled. Actually, it just took a minute to get disentangled. Okay, so we'll do both of you together. Well, it's a little crowded, but I guess from where you are, you can offer obeisances to the deities. There's that altar there, and then there's the Parampara and Tulsi. Yeah, there's room. So what are the four principles that you vow to follow in your entire life?
No meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, no illicit sex.
No meat eating, including fish and eggs, no gambling, no illicit sex, and no intoxication.
Good. And how many rounds do you vow to chant every day?
A minimum of 16 rounds a day.
A minimum of 16 rounds every day.
Good. And is there anything else you would like to say on this auspicious occasion, in this august assembly? Any intentions that you would like to share?
I pray that it become much more serious, and I thank you for putting your faith in me and for your compassion. Now, there's a lot more I want to say, but I prefer to write it.
I'd just like to thank all of the devotees that have helped me get to this point, and I hope that they continue to be merciful towards me. And I also pray that I can always contribute to Srila Prabhupada's mission in whatever small way I can for your pleasure, Guru Maharaj. And I also thank you for accepting me as a disciple, and I hope I can become a good one.
Okay. So, can you tell whose beats these are? You were at the Govardhan retreat. Okay. Well, everyone will know this name, but those who were at the Govardhan retreat might have an even deeper appreciation of the name. On behalf of Srila Prabhupada and the Guru Parampara, I'm pleased to accept you as a duly initiated disciple. And henceforth, you will be known as Akrura Das. At the Govardhan retreat, we heard a beautiful account of how Akrura was traveling to Vrindavan and his whole mood. And on behalf of Srila Prabhupada and the Guru Parampara, I'm pleased to accept you as my duly initiated disciple. And henceforth, yours is a name of Radharani, which I will explain. But henceforth, you will be known as Kamala Sundari Dasi. Kamala literally means lotus, but both the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, and Srimati Radharani are known as Kamala, because they're also beautiful like a lotus. And Kamala Sundari means, specifically refers to Radharani as a beautiful Kamala. And yes, so you're her maidservant. Hare Krishna. So I request all of the devotees, you're probably doing it already, but to send them your good wishes and blessings, that they are successful in their Krishna consciousness. And continue to give them all your support and friendship and affection and cooperation in their efforts. So you'll have to sit in the fire at some other stage, but we'll end with a little kirtan. Do we have a harmonium? Does anyone play? Well, we don't need that. We have mridanga? Krishna Krishna Krishna. Te Bhakti Vedanta Swami Titi Namine
Thank you.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Gaur Nithai Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radha Shamsundar Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radha Radhanath Ki Jai, Shri Man Mahaprabhu Ki Jai, Nithai Gaur Premanandi, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Sri Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.